So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time. Waiting for tonight. Oh.
So, take a look.
It's Review Away, everybody. It's John Pollock and Wei Ting. And I just want to say to everybody out there that this is probably the closest me and Wei have ever come to just saying, can we really do a show this week? I don't know how long you and I, Wei, have spent here at the Fight Network offices this week, but then yesterday I was thinking, and as many of you know, our Bret Hart documentary, Survival of the Hitman, debuts on Monday night. And this past week, Wei, George, Barbosa, and myself, I think have easily worked 70 hours apiece.
Something like that. There is one evening.
I'm drained of emotion. I don't think I'm going to be at all comedic in this next 45 minutes. I am promising that this will not be a great performance from myself.
Likewise.
You're going to have to carry this.
Huh, are you kidding me? I didn't even have time to watch the whole...
You... We met for breakfast this morning, Wei, as we do most Sunday mornings.
Yep.
And I got to the restaurant, and your MacBook was open, and you were sitting by yourself in a breakfast diner watching WrestleMania 22.
Yeah, I was watching the show, and luckily on the computer you can watch them in fast motion, so I watched this entire pay-per-view at 4 times the speed of normal, so... Forgive me.
Wait, your efforts this week, beyond fantastic.
Yeah,
a lesser person would have been like, Pollock, I'm editing this thing. Fuck you. I'm not watching WrestleMania 22. And you...
Well, no, it's...
You're going on how many hours of sleep right now, and you still got through WrestleMania? A 4-hour event.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know.
You know, you are the MVP this week.
No, don't
I say. Somehow started this really... Had I left this till later in the week... I finished WrestleMania like on Monday this past week, and had I left it till later in the week, there is no way I would have finished this. This is a long show.
You were smart. You had the foresight to watch this earlier in advance. Unfortunately, perhaps I was banking on the fact that I would remember some of these events because we both did travel to the show live in Chicago. Unfortunately, I do not remember a single thing from it.
This is it's a little foggy. We went, we were still working with the Fight Network at that point, and they sent us down to WrestleMania, and we were actually going, this was the first year that Ring of Honor scheduled shows the same weekend as WrestleMania in the home city of WrestleMania, and they've since done that every year. Actually, they won't be doing it this year, but anyway. They were in Chicago this year. We went down to do some profile pieces for Ring of Honor. We did one on the actual promotion, one on Christopher Daniels, and one on Samoa Joe. So that's what we were heading down for, and obviously it made sense to go to WrestleMania as well.
Yeah, that was really the first sort of big project you and I worked together on. And if you would like to view those, they're still up on YouTube. If you go to my old YouTube page, youtube.com/Wei0937, and you can check out those Ring of Honor shorts.
And that brings us up, Wei, to our current project, which I am going to shamelessly self-promote throughout the next 45 minutes.
Fuck yeah.
It debuts Monday night on the Fight Network in Canada, 7 p.m., and then replays at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and then airs throughout the week. If you go to the liveaudiowrestling.com site, go to my Sunday update, and it'll be in the Monday update as well, all of the times throughout the week. The big ones as well later this week, Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then Sunday, right before WrestleMania, Wei, at 5 p.m. Eastern. Other times you can catch this. I will say that we have destroyed ourselves working on this thing for 2 months. It took me and Wei to Calgary, where we spoke with Bret, and hopefully you enjoy this documentary, and even if you don't, that's fine. I'm pretty happy with it.
That's fine. Just watch it. And if you do not have the Fight Network, how can fans
Tuesday morning, it's going to be online. If you go subscribe to the Fight Network's YouTube account, youtube.com/TheFightNetwork, it's going to be up there Tuesday morning. So that's your Wei for a lot of our American listeners and a lot of people that have inquired overseas. I mean, we get a ton of responses from England and Scotland and Ireland. You can all watch it there Tuesday morning, youtube.com/TheFightNetwork. And... we obviously encourage you, if you're in Canada, watch it on the Fight Network, but you do have the online option as well. So with that, Wei, let's get into WrestleMania 22. Are there any notes that stand out? I mean, did you recall it all? that weekend in Chicago? Any notable stories?
Very vaguely. I just remember getting there, and then it took a long, long, long time to drive down. It took, what, like 12 hours, something like that? 12,
it was, 14 it was a
hours.
Long, it was a long drive, and also then with Chicago, they are central time, so you're going back an hour.
And not only that, but when we got there, we had to go directly to the Ring of Honor show to do our interviews before the show itself. So
that,
we were, go on.
That show, we got there probably at like 1 p.m. in the afternoon for that Friday show, for the Ring of Honor show. 1 p.m. in the afternoon for a show that started at 8. And you and I were shooting for pretty much the entire time from 1 o'clock, I would say, until at least about 6 or so. I would say, and then killed some more time until the show started, and did a lot of interviews. We did a sit down with Samoa Joe, with Christopher Daniels, Gabe Sapolsky. That's why we stayed so long, because Gabe was the one we wanted to talk to, and he was like, "Well, right after the show, I'd be more, I'd have more time to talk." So that meant, okay, we'll stay for the show, because I was at this point a little tired. Did want to stay, but let's be honest.
Yeah.
So this show started at 8 o'clock. At midnight, 4 hours later, the main event begins, and it was Bryan Danielson and Roderick Strong, I believe.
Yes.
And they went 60. 1 in the morning, this five-hour show ended.
Fuck.
And it just burnt me out. And I think Mauro Ranallo has described Ring of Honor the best. They are the Academy Awards of pro wrestling. They are so long. And that's always been my criticism of Ring of Honor, in that they just have these shows that kill you by the end.
Yeah.
I like a show that is 2.5 hours. If I'm going to a live show, that's it for me. Yeah. You know? Like 3 hour pay-per-views, that's like a wrestling fan's max. Anything above that, it better be WrestleMania. And for Ring of Honor, especially at that time period, my God. We were at that arena for like 9 hours that day. And then at the end of this 5 hour show, we had to go find Gabe, set him up, do the interview, and then we just went home. And thank God, it was that was a long day.
It was a long day. I was completely exhausted, and wow, less is more.
Yes, very much so. So that was an interesting event over the weekend. We went to the WWE Hall of Fame on the Saturday night, where Bret Hart went in, mm-hmm. Eddie Guerrero was inducted, and
that was probably my favorite.
I enjoyed the Hall of Fame a lot, more than WrestleMania.
Yeah, just, me too.
It was the fact that you're there live, because I think it really doesn't translate. At TV, they cut it down to an hour, and mm-hmm. it's brutal. And last mm-hmm. year, you heard the stories that every person, it was like 5 minutes they got to talk. When we went, man, Bret must have spoke for 45 minutes
and
that
you,
year.
And you know all about that, because when we did that interview for this documentary with Bret Hart, just going through the tapes, John would ask one question to Bret, and he would go on for a good 20 minutes based on one question.
It was amazing, because we were, like, I had my outline of all my questions and time periods, and I had it all in chronological order, but the great thing was that I'd asked him one question, and he would go through the next eight, and he'd hit on everything.
Yeah.
So it helped in that regard, but it was like a three-hour interview.
To the point where our freelance shooter ran out of videotapes.
Yeah, I was freaking out, because he told me, okay, we're going to go to our next tape. Then all his tapes were a half hour. And then I'm talking about Montreal, finished, and he's like, all right, this is our last tape. And I just looked at him, what? We were at Montreal, and then I was freaking out, because mm-hmm. I was like, we're only at 97 right now.
Yeah.
I have to do all of the Montreal stuff, everything that happened afterwards, the stroke, the concussion, Owen, his return, mm-hmm. and we got to do this on one tape at this pace. So luckily, we had to switch cameras, and you had to then, because we were shooting with two cameras.
Yeah, I had a second camera, and luckily we were able to use my camera to finish the interview. Nonetheless, though, it all worked out in the end, and you'll get to enjoy it tomorrow. 7 o'clock. Right before Raw.
You were there to shoot pretty much all of the interviews. I mean,
yeah.
Which interview did you kind of find the most...
You know what? Honestly, from the moment... The first interview we did was with Gord Kirk, who used to be...
His sports agent, yeah.
Bret Hart's sports agent. And the moment that he even said his first response to a question you asked, the guy would just go into so much detail about Survivor Series, because he had actually been backstage. And the moment I first heard his response, I was like, wow, like this is going to turn out to be something really a lot of wrestling fans are gonna love. And not only that, but then we would talk to Paul Jay, the director of Wrestling with Shadows.
He was interesting to hear from. And yeah. I personally really enjoyed Carl DeMarco, just because he's never spoken about Montreal or anything. And here's a guy that was so connected to both sides.
Vince and Brett.
At the side. So if anyone does have any feedback on the documentary, maybe we can chat about it more next week, because there's a ton of stuff.
Maybe we'll review it.
Maybe we should review it on our own. That would be something. But right now, we're going to review WrestleMania 22, April the 2nd, 2006, way from the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois. And we started off with Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child singing the national anthem. And then we went to a music video to open with past WrestleMania clips. And they did this little theme where they would have an older star, and then it would like dissolve into a new star. And it was like the extension of one star to the modern day version.
Yes,
very, very clever on the WWE's part.
Cross dissolves always work.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
And then we got a montage of tonight's matches, including this was just so out of context, even 4 years later, of Mark Henry threatening to end the Undertaker's streak. It's like now, it's like you need Shawn Michaels to put his career on the line for someone to believe they would end it. And 4 years ago, Mark Henry was the threat to the streak.
There's no doubt who's winning in that match.
It's really funny that it's only been in the last couple of years the streak has really been pushed.
I suppose so, but it's always been something there. It's always been something that they would.
It's just like every year it's growing to where now it's the main storyline every year.
I remember going back to WrestleMania 18, the one that, in Toronto. They would push the fact that he was now 10-0 in WrestleMania,
and he held up his hands to signal 10, and you could see the arthritis in his hands because he couldn't put them straight.
Yeah, so there was a montage. A lot of the moments that we had discussed over the past weeks were shown, including Bobby Heenan on a camel, Brett walking down the ramp from WrestleMania, Austin and the Sharpshooter. Then we get our theme song, John.
Big Time by Peter Gabriel. Did you enjoy this as a theme song? I don't know how they came up with this.
Not only did they pick the song as a theme song, they used it as a tagline, and under all the WrestleMania 22 logos, big red letters, Big Time.
It was so cheesy, because the prior year, they had done the whole Hollywood theme, which I thought was really good, and for that WrestleMania, they used Big Time, but it was a soundtrack of Our Lives, and I thought it was a much better tune.
Is it the same song?
It's not the same song, but it was just the same name of a song. But this one, it was just like, why Peter Gabriel?
Yeah.
It was really strange. They had Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler on Raw. So, actually, at this point, Joey Styles was doing Raw every week, but then they yanked him for WrestleMania and put Ross back on the air, because he had been off the air heading into this. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Cole and Taz on SmackDown. And I will say, throughout this show, Michael Cole's best partner ever were... Taz and JBL worked well with Michael Cole.
I'm not a big fan of Taz. Really not. I'm sorry.
I thought he was okay with Cole. I thought when he first started as a color commentator, he was great. Like 2002,
it's
very good.
Yeah.
We start off with The Big Show and Kane versus Carlito and Chris Masters for the Raw Heavyweight Tag Titles, Way. And Carlito took the biggest bump of this match on the ramp on his way to the ring, where he tried to demonstrate that he was going to chop down the Giants, and then so he mimicked having an axe and swinging it, and then like went timber onto the steel ramp.
He rolled back up, didn't he? Didn't he do, like, sort of a forward roll?
I don't know what he was trying to do here.
Yeah, it was weird. I was watching it in four times the speed, and I couldn't really tell, so...
Then Big Show and Kane came out, Way, and we had... Because the entrance, Way, it had all the Chicago buildings in the back, and when Kane came out, all the buildings lit up on fire... To kind of like mimic the Chicago fires.
Oh, is that it?
I mean, is that going to be a thing that maybe WrestleMania 55, it'll be in New York City, and the wrestler will come in and maybe like Kane's entrance where he, and the Twin Towers fall down? Is that going to be acceptable?
That'll be cool.
This was pretty tasteless, Way.
You think Kane...
People died in that fire, and now it's just a stunt prop for Kane's entrance in the opening match.
You think Kane will still be wrestling at WrestleMania 55?
Probably. It's going to be old by then. It's only a few years away. It's only 19.
I could see that happening.
Yeah. Maybe. This crowd was off the charts here in this opening match. They were chanting Carlito, and it was very audible on this DVD. We saw the Master Lock by Masters to Kane, and a giant pop as it was broken up by Big Show. And somehow I thought Chris Masters and Carlito actually had some chemistry in this match, but I think it was more so the crowd was just so hot for this opener that it kind of negated everything else.
I could care less about these two teams. There's, you have a team of two giant monsters and two idiots. The monsters are the champions, and they're the faces, so I don't really see, like, who, what am I supposed to be watching here? Am I supposed to be cheering for the monsters to just demolish these two idiots? No, nobody has anything to gain. The idiots don't pose any threat. It's just a completely meaningless tag title match.
Kane hit a big choke slam. The crowd went crazy, and this was the finish. Kane and Big Show retaining the tag titles in the opening match.
Great.
And then they teased a breakup between Masters and Carlito.
Who cares?
Look forward to that feud. Backstage, Jonathan Coachman, whose voice sounded shot during this, interviews Shawn Michaels to discuss the angle with Vince McMahon, where Michaels tells Vince to grow up and move on from Montreal. This was 4 years ago.
Yeah, and you know what? Okay, we'll get into that later.
Michael says that the last 2 years he stole the show at WrestleMania, but don't expect a five-star classic tonight, and it's going to be violent and ugly, which is a great incentive for this match coming up later. He's basically promising you don't expect a good match tonight at the biggest show of the year.
Yeah.
What a waste of Shawn Michaels on this show.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into that later, I guess. Second match on the card, the Money in the Bank ladder match. Matt Hardy, Shelton Benjamin, Finlay, Bobby Lashley, Rob Van Dam, and Ric Flair in a ladder match.
Ric Flair, yes, in his second ladder match of his career.
Yes, it was just a few months before they had actually a really, really good ladder match with Edge on Raw. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why they threw him in here. But this was just so weird to see Ric Flair in this match. This was really the Shelton Benjamin show, I thought. We saw a spot where he runs up the ladder and then hits a senton to the floor onto Hardy, Van Dam, and Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
Flair climbs up the ladder and is nowhere near close to the briefcase. And then Matt Hardy comes up and delivers a superplex off the top of the ladder to Flair. And Jimmy Corderas flashes the X and Flair's taken out of the match. And I did not remember this match, all the specifics, and I thought that's the end of Ric Flair. In this WrestleMania match, 2 minutes and he takes a huge superplex.
Yeah.
How is this man not crippled?
I know, it was a very impressive looking spot, but I hate when they do this stupid fake injury and they flash the X like come on.
It's all overdone.
It's so
now.
Lame.
It's
so obvious what's gonna happen when you take a guy out this early and do the X right away. It's so fake. I mean, if they're really doing it, they would not. There's a lot better way to do it. It's just.
I don't know.
It's
Flair
so
taking
obvious.
That spot, I think there's a degree of believability that he could have been fucked up.
He could have. He did a good job with the spot. I hate the idea of them trying to trick us by doing the stupid X. And
2 minutes later, Ric Flair returned to the match, and the match just continued.
There were two sets of commentators in this match, which I hated.
They always do that for the ones with the both brands, and yeah, it's always usually a clusterfuck in there.
Huge.
Lashley climbed up the ladder, but he took a Van Daminator from Van Dam, which didn't look fun. Van Dam climbs to the top of the ladder and then splashes Finlay, and this elicited a very loud ECW chant. And you notice how those chants don't occur anymore.
No,
they've killed the ECW chants.
That's
finally.
Absolutely. Maybe that was the plan all along.
That was just it.
Yeah.
Let's create this brand, and this will be our end goal.
Yeah.
Benjamin springboards onto the ladder opposite Rob Van Dam. Then Finlay and Hardy are on a second ladder, but all get thrown to the floor. RVD's left there alone, climbs up and grabs the briefcase, and this crowd was insane for Rob Van Dam. So I guess they put the right guy over.
Absolutely. And
unfortunately, he'd win the title and then get arrested. But hindsight.
Yeah, not a great match, in my opinion. But a couple cool spots here and there, and that's what this match is.
Josh Matthews is backstage, and he calls that match 5 stars, which is the second Dave Meltzer reference on this show.
That's right. Well, actually, it would be the fifth. I guess Van Dam didn't do the frog splash.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And he introduces Gene Okerlund. Randy Orton walks in, and he was wearing a RKO shirt that was done in the style of the NWO Wolfpack.
Yeah.
The same font. That was a lame shirt.
Well, he had one that was like the black and white NWO.
That's so lame.
It looks cool, but it makes no sense. It makes no sense. What does he have to do with the NWO?
There's no connection at all.
He's never been in the ring with Nash or Hall.
He's one guy. He's such a better character now than he was four years ago.
I agree.
Like, he was just like this douchebag before, and it was didn't connect.
Now you can really get the sense that he's the top heel.
He's a real prick.
Yeah.
Randy Orton cuts a pretty lame promo, I thought, and then Batista shows up dressed in shades and says it doesn't matter who wins the world title match tonight because they are just holding it until he returns from injury, and he says that he'll be the world champion by WrestleMania 23, which I looked up, and he went into WrestleMania 23 as the world champion.
Wow.
Don't credit that to long-term booking. That was a pure coincidence, everybody. They announced the crowd at 17,157 plus John Pollock and Wei Ting for us.
That's right.
17,159.
Which is a small crowd for a Mania. I remember walking...
Well, they jacked the prices up for these Manias, so was still on par with
I just remember walking... First of all, this arena was not even in Chicago. It was where? It was...
It was technically just outside of Chicago.
It was like a suburb.
Hoffman Estates? No, that's close. It's not technically Chicago.
No.
I don't know what the exact city is.
Yeah, I forget too. Anyway, I walk in and like this. I suppose maybe I've been spoiled by the Skydome WrestleManias, but this just felt like a regular Raw or SmackDown with the size of the venue.
WrestleMania should always be in a big arena. I guess the exception being for Madison Square Garden.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. Howard Finkel. This was my favorite line of the entire event. He's in the middle. Bret the Hitman Hart, they all go crazy, was uncomfortable attending tonight, but here are the inductees of the 2006 Hall of Fame class. I'm like, what, fuckers?
Yeah.
Just getting that one last pop.
Slap him in the face.
And the legit story here was that they had sent a... Bret said, I am not coming out for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
They sent a limo and tried to get him to WrestleMania, and then he said, no, take me to the airport.
Good for him. He stuck to that until now.
They bring out Gene Okerlund, Sensational Sherry, Tony Atlas, Vern Gagne, William the Refrigerator Perry, the Blackjacks, and Vicky Guerrero, who got a thunderous response.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a nice moment here.
Yeah.
Remembering Eddie. But then you remember all the angles they shot at the time about Eddie, and they would recap those later in the show. And, I don't know. It was pretty tasteless from this company. They can do such... nice acts, and then at the same time they can script guys to say that Eddie is in hell. Fuck this company.
It was also interesting just seeing all these people cheer Vicky Guerrero in such a touching moment. Only years later they would boo the hell out of her every time she'd appear on screen.
The next match was for the United States Championship. Chris Benoit defending against JBL. JBL's entrance was kind of cool because the ramp elevated and JBL came out in a limo. And they cut to a sign that said JBL, just big loser. Because that was a necessary cut. Remember Jillian here was in the corner of JBL at this point.
No, I don't remember.
She was his public relations head or something like that. The storyline is that JBL defeated Eddie Guerrero for the WWE title. And if he beat Chris Benoit tonight, he would be considered the greatest technical wrestler of all time.
Hmm.
I didn't know it worked like that. They noted that Benoit is one of five men to win a WrestleMania match by submission. JBL attempts the Three Amigos, but Benoit stops the third one. Then Benoit hits the Three Amigos, and then a flying headbutt for a two count. Benoit attempts a German suplex, but JBL grabs the referee, and then the ropes, sets up the clothesline from hell. Benoit counters with a crossface, but JBL rolls over, grabs the rope, and pins Benoit to win the title in the uncomfortable match of the night.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable watching this.
I hate watching.
I used to love Benoit.
I
used to love Benoit's matches so much, but now I just can't really.
I cringe.
I can't sit and watch.
So awkward. The only two matches I've watched since his death was this one and the one we did for One Worlds Collide. And each one, it's just too weird.
It really is.
I don't know how people, well, you know, to each his own. I'm not going to preach here. But now we go to the hardcore match way, Mick Foley against Edge. And this was right after Edge had had a very short run with the WWE title. Ratings went up significantly after he defeated Cena, but they only kept the title on him for 3 weeks. So the storyline here was that Mick Foley had never had a show-stealing performance at WrestleMania, and that was his goal here with Edge.
Well, I don't think he still has. He still doesn't have one.
Yeah, this match didn't do it for you.
No.
They brought out Joey Styles, the voice of ECW, and he says he's ready to lose his WrestleMania virginity, so he's going to call this match with Jerry Lawler. Edge comes out, and he looks like he hasn't slept in a week nor shaved in that time period. He looked terrible. Foley came out and looked worse. He was very, very round. He's in much better shape today in 2010. Mm. He looked like...
You know why he came out so
good. I know. Later, we'll explain that, but look very rotund here.
Okay.
Styles was out to steal the show for himself here. Mm. He was just going nuts here to try and be so Joey Styles here.
Yeah.
Styles tried to theorize that Foley was wearing a darker flannel shirt because it might be an indication of a darker Mick Foley tonight.
No.
Very metaphorical.
Poetic.
What stood out for you in this match, Wayne?
Well, what stood out for me mostly was I really wasn't following the storylines at all at this point. I to be honest with you, I stopped watching wrestling maybe around 2002, and what brought me back was the Fight Network, working at the Fight Network, and so I wasn't really following the storylines going into
Wait a minute. You hadn't been watching up to this point?
I took a long break after probably...
You had been call screening for a year when this event had happened.
Had I really?
Yeah, you started at the end of mid-2005.
There you go.
You were not watching for that whole time period.
I really wasn't.
Our law call screener.
I would show up at the pay-per-views and like, this is all right.
That's fantastic.
But come on, like, this is shit. This is shit. I thought Mick Foley retired in 2000. Since then, he's already had two matches. Like,
well, it's a lot better than his track record today. He wrestles every month now.
The guy used to have so much pride in his matches, and I don't know. This was a good match. There are a lot of spots.
It was all built up to the finish, yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of spots, but, like, it kind of hurts me to see him just hurt himself at this age.
They did a spot where Edge hit a spear early on, but then he started selling, and then it was revealed that Foley was wearing barbed wire underneath his flannel shirt, and he took off the flannel to reveal the barbed wire, and that was why he looked a little bigger than usual, because he had all this barbed wire underneath him. Edge's arm started bleeding. Lita jumps onto Foley's back and was going for a rear naked choke, and then somehow all three got thrown over the top rope in an interesting-looking spot. Then outside, this goes back to Way's point. Foley takes a hip toss onto the steel steps and then is thrown right into them. Like, his knees are shot. And it's just like a hip toss, and he's landing. Like, his ACL must have just been jolted here, if he even had any ACL in these knees. Edge then squirts lighter fluid onto Mick Foley. This is such a different product than today. Mm. Lighting guys on fire. Thumbtacks are brought out by Foley. Edge gets backdropped onto them, and then Edge and Lita take a barbed wire socko claw. This was not fun. Lita was bleeding from the mouth, as were both men from their faces. That was a gross-looking spot where Lita took the barbed wire in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Very disgusting.
Yeah.
Foley douses the table with lighter fluid, takes a barbed wire baseball bat shot from Lita, who puts more lighter fluid onto the table, lights it up on fire, and then as Foley's on the apron, Edge dives through the rope, spearing Foley through the flaming table, gets the win. And I thought Edge's facials after the match were phenomenal. And then they cut to a girl taking a picture on her digital camera of these two burnt superstars. And then multiple replays that at least got this fire spot over. But, my God, they did quite a lot in this match. And thank God it was WrestleMania, and they were each getting a large sum of money for this. Because a lot of guys do this every weekend on an indie show for $25.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know.
You didn't like this.
I didn't, because these are all just spots that we've seen before. And to the point now, the whole thumbtack thing and the flaming tables, it's all really just a cliche and doesn't...
I'm not a big hardcore fan at all. This was what it was. It built to a spot. I'm never a fan of guys just, like, killing themselves. But I figure if you're dead set on doing it, at least do it for a lot of money, which is what they did. Oh, God, our next match, Way. Booker T is with Charmel backstage, and They're both scared of the boogeyman. And then Charmel asks why all the freaks are after him. Because we see Paul Burchill, before he was partnered with Katie Lee Burchill. He was Pirate Paul at this point. Then we see Ted DiBiase with Eugene doing the basketball bounce. Then we see Mae Young and Moolah with Gene Snitsky. And Snitsky is licking the feet of Mae Young.
Mm-hmm.
This made me vomit. Then Goldust shows up in a blue dress. Goldust tells Booker T to unleash his inner freak.
Who was he dressed as? He had a blue dress and a curly brown hair wig.
I don't know. The segment was weird. Ted DiBiase really didn't fit here.
Yeah, yeah. They're trying
grouped
to
with all the freaks.
Yeah, they're trying to portray DiBiase as a freak, and it stayed on them for way too long after it ended. Everybody gets their catchphrase.
I think they were trying to do the Dr. Evil laugh thing, which was that's 7 years too late.
No, but that's DiBiase's thing. I think.
I know, but they kept it on him.
Yeah.
For like multiple
that was odd.
Laughs.
It was
anyway. From there we go to Todd Grisham at ringside, who are with the Snickers contest winners, who they ask how many Snickers they've had, and Todd Grisham inadvertently calls these two fat.
They are. They look disgusting. You can see the one woman's teeth. They were like completely yellow and like
wrestling fans.
Disgusting. They've had like 5 and 6 Snickers bars each.
They showed Joe Theismann and Michelle Williams in attendance. Joe Theismann, for those uninformed, had one of the nastiest injuries ever on a live NFL broadcast. I believe it was an NFL broadcast. It could have been the AFL. Okay. And his leg was just decimated like Sid Vicious.
And you'd notice the real lack of celebrities at this WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, this one was hurting.
They couldn't get Beyonce. They couldn't even get Kelly Rowland. They got the third lead.
Michelle Williams. From there, we go to Booker T and Charmel against the Boogeyman. If you look at Booker T's WrestleMania track record, we had 2002 where he fought over Shampoo. We had 2003 where the build-up was Triple H cutting racist promos, and then the babyface failed against the Bigot. 2004, he was buried in some four-way tag match. 2005, he was left off the show. And 2006, he worked the Boogeyman. Fuck, it sucks to be this guy this time of the year. There was a sign in the front row that said, "We want workers," during this match.
Hmm.
I laughed. One of the positives was that the pyro for Boogeyman made it very foggy and you could barely see the match. Very, very short. Charmel attempts to hit the Boogeyman with his cane but is caught. And Boogeyman makes out with Charmel while he has worms in her mouth. She freaks out and leaves. Boogeyman hits a press slam for the win. This was like 3 minutes. And I don't know what they ever saw in the Boogeyman and what his potential was, because there was none.
Why wasn't the Humane Society all over this guy?
For worms are animals, too.
Killing worms. Dumb storyline, dumb acting, bad and stupid character. Like, what is this doing at WrestleMania? This shouldn't even be on Raw. This shouldn't even be on
TV. Earth. I agree with. From there we go. This show, it's just like recapping. It's just like match after match after match.
Being there, I wasn't impressed at all. I really didn't give a shit about this show.
Nice. Up next, the women's title's on the line. Trish Stratus defending against Mickie James. This was one of the best built women's feuds in years.
Yes.
This was like 6 months of build for this match, and it was done so well. The video. I love the video package for this. Mm-hmm. Like the way they built it up, and they featured a spot from I think it was a Saturday night's main event where James gave Stratus an implant DDT, and it couldn't have been a planned spot, but Stratus got a bloody nose from it.
Mm-hmm.
And James, I guess, just thinking on the spot, like kisses her and has blood all over her face.
Ew.
It was awesome. I thought it was such a good spot. It just looked so like this woman was a freak.
Ew.
Really got the character over, I thought. During this match, I laughed so hard at Jim Ross. Stratus gave a Luthez press, and he called it a Louise Thez press.
I wrote that down, too. That was funny. Yeah.
A lot of the James working the left knee of Stratus. Lots of Let's Go Mickey chants. Like, this we saw, the crowd just turned on Trish in this match. They all were behind Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
And James getting a very big babyface reaction. A lot of non-PG skirt shots of Mickey. And then James, This is where the match unfortunately fell apart. James knocks Stratus in the groin to avoid taking the Stratus faction.
No, she grabs her in the groin.
Oh, did she grab her? I just put her not Stratus in the groin.
No, she grabbed her crotch.
Okay. And then Mickey goes for the Stratus faction, but totally fucks it up, where she goes into the ropes, her feet go through the ropes, and the crowd, it was like they were just building and building and ready to pop for Mickey winning the title, and it was like the air was out of the sails. She improvised with a chick kick, one, but it just wasn't the same, with loud chants of "you fucked up" at Mickey James. This was so good and so bad at the end.
Yeah, it was odd. I wonder why the crowd turned on Trish. Oh,
I would have cried if I was Trish. It's like, Mickey, how did you fuck that up?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Frustrating.
It's a tricky move.
It is. Backstage, we're with the McMahon family, Vince, Linda, Shane, and Stephanie. Vince looked ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was jacked to the gills in this match. The Scott Putski Award to Vince McMahon without any competition. I don't care. Chris Masters, Triple H. No, it was Vince. He was tanned.
Yeah.
He was coming off this muscle and fitness photo shoot. And my God, for all those people out there who read those when they were doing the congressional inquiry and they interviewed Vince and he said that, you know, I'm not a performer and therefore I'm not drug tested. Wow, just amazing. Vince, they all got on their knees and prayed to God.
Close your eyes and bow your head. God, let's face it. I don't like you. You don't like me. I've defied every law you've ever had and yet been tremendously successful. And I'm sure, God, you never intended on a 60-year-old to have a Herculean physique as I do. I know, God, that you and I aren't close, but I know you and Shawn Michaels are very, very close. So tonight, God, I'd like to tell you what I'm going to do with your favorite wrestler. I'm going to send Shawn Michaels down to the fiery depths of hell. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This was weird, and it was actually setting up next month's pay-per-view, where originally for Backlash in 2006, the plan was to do Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon against Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. That was what they were hoping for, and when Bret bailed and wasn't going to go along with it, they had God team with Shawn Michaels, and that will definitely be a future review.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
God headlines a pay-per-view.
Can't wait for that. I really enjoyed the little prayer that they did.
It was very funny.
Yes.
The next match, it's a casket match. The Undertaker against Mark Henry. The storyline is that Henry cost The Undertaker his rematch with world champion Kurt Angle on an edition of SmackDown. And this was the end of one streak, and that was the bad matches of The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Because after this, it was Batista, Edge, Shawn Michaels.
Hmm.
He's had some solid matches, but this was not one of them. Mark Henry hits his where Undertaker's neck is draped on the second rope, and he does that slide through. My God, I don't know how he hasn't broken someone's neck with that move yet.
Yeah,
but he did it here on the Undertaker. Really shitty last ride powerbomb by the Undertaker during this match. Hits a giant tope over the top rope, clears the casket to hit Henry, and then hit a follow up tombstone and put Henry in the casket for the win. I was impressed by this by the dive. And he did not land on his head this time.
Yeah, that dive he always does during a big match. It's very impressive.
I hope he doesn't do it at WrestleMania this year.
Why is that?
Well, did you remember last year?
Yeah. Well, he has to make up for it.
Why press your luck? He's not in better shape this year. He's barely moving around.
But he's done it so much, he can probably get it off this time.
I don't think it's necessary.
He'll be extra careful. He should do something special, more special.
It's like he got a pass last year.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he'll do it again eventually.
Well, that's dumb.
I don't like casket matches at all. I really don't like them.
What does it prove?
It's so stupid.
You fell in a box.
You close a guy in a box.
It's like you fall out of the ring in the wrong side.
It's so stupid. You do the move to the guy, and then you roll them out into the ring, or into the box, and then you close the box. I don't know. It sucks. It lacks the suspense and the immediate the immediate drama of just a clear pinfall or something more, you know, like climbing a ladder to grab a briefcase, for instance. I think it's a stupid match.
Next up, no holds barred match between Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels. We talked about it before. I didn't understand the need to put Shawn Michaels in this match with Vince McMahon. But for whatever reason, that was the direction they went in for this match. Got a ton of promotion.
The whole storyline is about McMahon screwing Michaels like he did Brett. And to do this on the same weekend that you're inducting the guy into the Hall of Fame is...
No wonder he didn't show
up. Yeah, exactly.
Like, no wonder. McMahon, as I said, just looks ridiculous. He brought out a stand of his Muscle and Fitness poster to put it ringside. There were chants of "We want Brett" early on in this match. Early on, Michaels puts McMahon's head through the magazine cover. And then we got a Spirit Squad run-in. And I'll say, it may not have been the most entertaining gimmick, but I enjoyed the Spirit Squad.
No. Sorry, John. Sorry. But
they tried.
It was just their comedy stable that gets, for whatever reason, brought onto the main event.
Spirit Squad, for those not familiar, consisted of Ken Doan, who now works for Dragon Gate USA, Johnny Jeter, who's no longer a wrestler, Nick Mitchell, who now runs a clothing store with Tori Wilson, Nick Nemeth, who is now Dolph Ziggler, and Mike Mondo, who I believe is also out of the industry. So
wow.
This angle did a mountain of good for these guys. What a rub. Doan missed a top rope guillotine, and Michaels just clears house with all of them with a megaphone and then hip tosses Doan over the top rope onto the other four. And that was their WrestleMania cameo. And this was amazing because Vince was severely limited at this point in time, and this was 4 years ago, which makes WrestleMania next Sunday even scarier. Like, I don't know what Vince... Like, Vince is just, like, immobile at this point.
Yeah.
McMahon teased the sweet chin music, and he, like, connected with the belly of Michaels, but Michaels... Well, that's what he was about to hit, but Michaels stopped him. Michaels set up the sweet chin music, but is hit by a kendo stick by Shane McMahon, who runs out to get involved in this, does his silly little dance, and then he reveals handcuffs are brought out. And McMahon takes his pants off at this point in the match. And Shane is setting up Michaels to kiss the ass of Vince. But Michaels hits Shane, and Shane gets thrown into the ass of his father. That's creepy. Michaels low blows Vince and then handcuffs Shane outside, throws the key into the audience, and just beats the piss out of Shane with a kendo stick. Michaels with a huge chair shot on Vince. The crowd, I have to say, was electric at this point in the match. And Jim Ross stated that McMahon is on Queer Street. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And it built to a spot where Michaels delivers an elbow off a huge ladder to McMahon with a table, onto a table with a trash can over Vince's head. Then Michaels does the DX sign right before the elbow. McMahon does big color in this match from a chair shot. And then Michaels yells at him that he's going to kick his teeth down his throat, delivers the sweet chin music, and gets the win.
What's so funny?
It's just like, would you ever yell, "I'm going to kick your teeth down your throat"? Would you yell that at someone on the street?
I would never say that. I would never do such a thing.
Thoughts on this match, Way? Was there crowd heat, I thought, was very strong.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell. I was watching it while we were having breakfast and whatever.
All right.
The middle finger was funny.
They announced WrestleMania 23 in 2007 for Detroit, Michigan. Taz calls the last match the call of the year by Jim Ross, and it was a very good call by Ross. Go to a video for our next match, which is Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton for the world title. They had POD perform Rey's theme music. They all went to high school together.
Oh, did they?
Yes. They performed Booyaka 619. Mysterio came out in a headdress that I think was lent to him by Tatanka. And then we go right into the match. Not much to say. I thought this match was great for what it was, but all it was 9 minutes, and they basically had to go into near falls like 3 minutes in because the last match went super long, and they weren't going to cut any of the time off the main event or the big Playboy pillow fight. So this match got butchered to shit. I think this match was supposed to go like 20, and it got cut by 10 minutes. Double German suplex spot by Kurt to Randy and Ray. Angle's taken out of the ring. Mysterio hits the West Coast Pop on Orton for the win and the title. And then there was a big post-match celebration with Vicky and Chavo congratulating Rey, and a nice dissolve to Eddie's picture in the arena.
I didn't like that.
No?
No, I didn't like that. Chavo looked really awkward. He looked too happy, almost. You know what I mean?
Well, he was happy.
Like, yeah, he looked like he was actually jealous.
No, I was planting the seeds. They would feud later.
Yeah,
that was it.
I didn't like that.
All right. I like this match. It was really, really cut short. And Randy Orton was actually scheduled at one point to win the title on this match. But the guy was such a fuck-up that they decided why put it on him. So they put it on Ray. Video backstage of John Cena putting his socks on and Triple H getting ready by being massaged. And there is a big push by Jim Ross that a lot of the fans tonight are traditional wrestling fans as a way to pretty much cushion the fact that Cena was getting booed out of the building, as he was not popular in Chicago this weekend. And lots of Cena sucks chants as Lawler states, it doesn't matter who gets cheered or booed in this match tonight. That led to the Playboy pillow fight with Candice Michelle and Tori Wilson. Moments after JR states the live crowd is a traditional wrestling audience, we go to this match. And we had to make time, of course, for it, because no time for the world title match to get any time. Ross warns this is not going to be Hackenschmidt versus Gotch. Both were announced from Boise, Idaho, which I looked up, and Candice is from Milwaukee, so that was a mistake there.
Huh.
There was a sign in the audience that said, Tori, keep your dog, I want your cat. Michelle applied a tarantula in the ring on Wilson after taking her dress off. Boring chance about 3 minutes into the match.
Who's Michelle?
Candice Michelle, one of the participants in the match. There were boring chants 3 minutes into the match, which meant this match did go a third of the length of the world title match. Michelle had this was a head scissors. No, she actually had scissors and teared up Tori's dress. No pop when the dress came off. No one gave a shit about this match. Wilson gets the win. Waste of time. And then we go to the main event.
Wait. They might as well have brought out two strippers to do a...
No one in this audience gave a shit dance about these women. There was no pop when their clothes came off. They didn't care at all. It's like, are you fucking kidding us? We've been watching 3 hours of wrestling, and this is what we're getting now.
I don't remember any of this, by the way.
All a blur.
I was actually at this event, and I completely do not remember anything.
All right, let's go to the main event. John Cena versus Triple H for the WWE Championship. They show a press conference where Triple H says that this is going to be the easiest match of his career. Great build. Triple H comes out. This was the entrance where WWE decided to go all movies here. These entrances were something else. They showed two skulls fighting on a battlefield. Then the new Motorhead song of The Game started playing. He rises on a throne, as dressed up as Conan the Barbarian, where he's got a crown, he's got fur around him, he's got some weird belt around his waist, and I was howling in laughter at this.
I remember that. I remember you laughing at how stupid he looked.
There was some WWE employee sitting in front of us, and he turned around to us and yelled at us or something about, like, give it a chance, or something. He was really, really defensive.
Wow.
I remember. And I remember laughing at this guy and was like, dude, calm the fuck down. This is horrible.
Did you give it a chance?
No, it was horrible. As soon as I saw fur and that stupid crown, my chance was gone. This was terrible. This is on the cover of one of R.D. Reynolds' WrestleCrap books. I'm validated. I thought this was bad. And then we had John Cena come out. There was a video discussing Chicago.
The Great Depression. One of the worst times in American history. Prosperity came to a screeching halt. Factories closed. People lost their jobs. And millions lost everything they owned. Politicians on the take. And the very rich were the only ones living the American dream. To the rest, it was a nightmare. In Chicago, one group decided it was time for things to change. A group that came from nothing. Men that were willing to take chances and who had nothing to lose. These gangsters decided if no one would help them, they would scratch, claw, and succeed by any means necessary. They didn't care what it took, living fast and working hard. If If you loved them or you hated them, it didn't matter. They'd sacrificed everything. To survive, you needed three things.
And then they had these gangsters come out with guns, one of which looks strangely familiar. Cena comes out to a chorus of boos, and then he pulls out a gun and shoots the audience. And I thought this was a case of the company just thinking a little too deep and above their audience.
I think so, too.
Being a little too metaphorical. Is this a very expensive attempt that did not work.
A good message is to send to kids, a dude with a gun.
Just kill them if there's detractors. It's a nice little metaphor there. I will say this match had a very the big match feel. I thought the crowd was insane during this match. Like, out of their mind insane. They hated John Cena. And by default, they love Triple H. Lillian Garcia introduces Hunter as the King of Kings and Cena as the Doctor of Thugonomics. And I just noted in this match, they did so little in this match, but everything got such a big reaction that it didn't matter. There was a sledgehammer spot. Crowd was unglued when Triple H hit Cena with it, but then Cena kicked out. Triple H kicked out of an FU for an even bigger pop. And then Cena applied the STFU. The ref raises Triple H's arms on the third try. He keeps it up, but then he just can't reach the ropes and taps out. I thought it was a good finish. Cena was, I guess there was a reluctant applause at the end, but I thought the crowd made this entire match because it wasn't that great a match, but the crowd was just so amazing in this last match that I thought it was strong.
Were you one of those people cheering?
No, I can't remember. 4 years ago. Wait, come on. So that was WrestleMania 22. I apologize. I'm so tired right now.
No, you're doing
well.
And
it's Sunday at 6 o'clock, meaning it's Sunday at 5 o'clock Eastern right now. And we've got to sit through a 3-hour TNA pay-per-view and then do the Law. And then I got to upload everything. So it's going to be a long night and an early morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired. Wait. So that's it. I apologize. Maybe next week we will double up on feedback because our printer was kind of out of paper, and I didn't get to print it off.
I can read some of it here if you want.
Why don't you read it?
All right.
My voice is dead.
Really exciting.
What do you give WrestleMania 22? I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10.
I hated it. I give it a 4. I just had nothing to even think about. I was completely indifferent to it. Really. 679 members. Let's talk about that.
We guys, thank you to everybody. The amount of increase we have gotten our members is just phenomenal. And you can continue to join at reviewaway.com, reviewaway.com. We're going to shoot for 700 for next Sunday for WrestleMania 28. So we need 21 members in the next week. And if you guys can spread the word, spread the love, and don't hesitate to take a link and post it around. You know, tell people to check the show out. We appreciate any support, and hopefully we can hit 700 for WrestleMania. I know that figure just seemed like no chance a few weeks ago, but
you guys,
I've been amazed.
Yeah, we were really amazed. We're updating each other this whole week. Okay, did you check it out? We're at 600 something.
Yeah, kudos to everybody out there who've been sending out invites and stuff. That's awesome.
I don't sound enthusiastic about it now, but yes, it was very exciting this week. Ben Brisebois, in his comments for WrestleMania 22, says, I had no idea what was going on at this time. I wasn't watching wrestling and hadn't been for 5 years. Well, he's just
like you.
Just like me, Ben. Yeah, even though I was working at the Law at that time. When you guys said you were doing 22, all I wanted to see was Mysterio win the world title. That was okay. I don't find it believable seeing Mysterio against big guys, but then again, it's wrestling. I should watch Trish Stratus too, just because she's Trish Stratus and I missed her most of her in-ring career. Other than that, this looks really bad. It wouldn't be a review away if you weren't making fun of shitty wrestling, but for some reason, I like 80s and 90s shitty wrestling better. Nostalgia, I guess. You know, I tend to agree with you. I have never seen a Boogeyman match, but I'm judging a book by its cover, and his character makes me assume that he sucked.
He did.
Josh Thomas, that three-way with Orton, Angle, and Ray was good, fast-paced, but yeah, finished way too early. Kurt should have won. Woo.
You're always reading the emails from now on.
Daniel Canataro, just started watching Mania 22, and who starts coming to the ring? And who starts coming to the ring the next candidate for the Scott Putski, Chris Masters, who failed the WWE drug test like 3 times? I thought it was 3 strikes and you're out.
Twice. Failed 2.
All right, anyways, looking forward to finishing Mania 22, and keep up the good work, man.
Thank you.
Fuck.
There's a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, guys. Love the reviews. I'm from the Chicago area. This is from Review Away's biggest fan.
Yeah, this guy's awesome. He actually registered on Facebook as Review Away's biggest fan. That's his name. Awesome.
Love the reviews. I'm from the Chicago area, and I was actually at WrestleMania 22 with my best friend, and we had good seats. 100 level, about 6 rows back. Anyhow, looking at the card, it was not that strong, but the Foley Edge match was great. Also, Michaels was mega over doing that insane ladder dive on Vince. I remember about half the people booing Rey Mysterio getting the title, and Kurt Angle was the most over face in the match. Cena Triple H was a blast, though. For some reason, Chicago can't stand John Cena, and they totally turned a heel Triple H into a babyface. My voice was gone the next day from yelling so much during this match. TV does not do it justice, as I'm sure you guys recall from being there. Yeah, it does. It does it justice. Anyhow, keep up the good work. Look forward to your review and WrestleMania 26. And then he liked his own post.
Oh, that's great. Any more?
There might be. Give me 1 second. Some memories from WrestleMania 22 from Matt Sterling. It was the first ever pay-per-view I bought and was amazed by the event as I'd never seen that kind of action before. I never liked Cena then, so was rooting for Hunter in the main event, although I wasn't all that bothered to watch the main event. The highlights of the night for me were Edge, Foley, obviously, HBK and Vince, and the MITB ladder match. When I was 11 in 2006, I'd have given it 9.5 out of 10. Now I'd give it 8 out of 10. Still one of my favorites because of the nostalgia. Nostalgia from 2006.
It's gone down by 1.5.
This guy was 11 in 2006. That means he's only how old?
Like
he's,
15.
He's only 15. Jesus. Oh, man. This guy, Dale Perry, says the Lex Express work purpose was to get Lex Luger a title shot. There was something about how Luger wasn't worthy of a title shot because he hadn't actually slammed Yokozuna, and Yokozuna had just beaten Hulk Hogan, which destroyed America, or some such nonsense. Hogan, regardless, it wasn't in lieu of him training for a title match. It was to get him one. Which headline SummerSlam and ended in a DQ or countout. Dumb. Yeah, we weren't really being completely serious. There you go.
Thank you to everyone for your feedback. We always appreciate it. We're going to get out of here in just a few minutes. But once again, just want to remind everyone, Monday night, March 22nd, that's tonight, Bret Hart, Survival of the Hitman airs on the Fight Network, 7 and 11 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be airing this Saturday as well at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then Sunday, right before WrestleMania at 5 p.m. Eastern. If you're having a WrestleMania party, why not start it 2 hours early and start off with Bret Hart, Survival of the Hitman. It's also airing throughout the week on the Fight Network. Go to liveaudiowrestling.com for those dates. There's also a Facebook event group for it, and you can also email me or Way, John, or Way at thefightnetwork.com for more details. And Tuesday morning, it'll be online, youtube.com/thefightnetwork. I know I'm in heavy promotional mode right now, but we appreciate your views. And if you watch it, please send feedback to us. We would love to discuss with you. So, wait, quickly, what are we going to review next week?
Well, John, I think I would like to take the request of a loyal follower, Brandon West, who's asking us to review ECW Hardcore Heaven 2000. He thinks it's one of the worst ECW pay-per-views ever and features numerous run-ins and bullshit finishes. So next week here, we'll do our very first ECW
pay-per-view. Yeah, that's right. We've never done ECW before. Okay, so next week, ECW Hardcore Heaven.
By the way, we are in need of a link. So this is a request out there
Yes.
for a link
This is one of the few events I do not have, and I have not seen online. So if anyone has a link to this, we'd appreciate it. And if we don't, it'll be a surprise review next week.
Yeah.
Or we'll just review what we thought happened.
We'll review, yeah, whatever. We'll make it up.
All right, and on our way out here, since our Bret Hart documentary debuts Monday night, and we were chatting about it last Monday, we're going to go out with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers making some noise.
Much money, I was staying out late. I go down at nighttime, play music in the bars, take my breaks out underneath the stars. I was making some noise, I was a working boy. I'm at the top of the voice saying, look at me, mama, I'm making some noise. Never give in. I've been down before. I ain't going down again. I'm making some noise. I've been a worried boy. I'm at the top of my voice saying, look at me, mama. I'm making some noise. Across the canyon, a guitar plays through an amplifier on a long delay. It was an old melody. I recognized the song. I had an amplifier too, and so I played along. I'm making some noise. I'm still a working boy. The top of a voice saying, look at me, mama, I'm making some noise. I'm making some noise. I've been a long gone boy. At the top of a voice saying, look at me, mama, I'm making some noise.